Thank you so much for being with us here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. It's a beautiful day, and hopefully you'll be excited and beautifully tuned in to our program. We're going to be talking about what happens after high school. Do you go to college? Are you sure you want to go to college? Are you going to go get a job, find a career, sort of right after high school? And as we get involved in that, ooh, is that a big family decision? So we've got our guest today over close to the door for an immediate escape if she's unhappy with how the conversation goes, Catherine Baylor. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
And you are principal at Jack Jewett Middle School.
I sure am.
Is that so we're going to be bringing college tracking and career in from the middle school area on up. Do we need to start at that young of an age?
We do. It's great if you start as young as, we're starting as young as sixth grade, getting our students ready and prepared academically, emotionally, and socially ready for high school and college. And it takes specific skills and strategies to get that accomplished.
So we'll be talking with Catherine. We'll be about that part over in the middle. Adam Hastings, he is the K-Tech principal. That's Charlottesville Albemarle Technical Education Center. What's happening?
Well, I'm really glad to be here. Thanks for having us. It's always awesome to come and talk about the great things that we're doing over at K-Tech.
And over in the corner, tucked away, a guest who's joining us for a second time, so we must not have scared him too much, Walter Marine. He's a licensed professional counselor and family therapist.
I'm glad to be here. I'm looking forward to talking about families and their children and the decisions you have to make.
Well, that's a key part is, again, let me share this with everyone for a moment. I came up with this show because of my family. My oldest nephew is trying to make decisions on where to go to college, what to do. My sister, his mother, trying to take him around and give him ideas of visiting colleges, etc. And that wasn't working very well. They were, I don't want to say butting heads, but success. They were not taking successful steps in making this happen. So I'm going to read this. She and I exchanged several emails. I want to read this this chunk of email so that people can get an idea of where I'm coming from for this program. All right, email from my sister. I know it's important for the school system to give us the information like SATs and financial aid, ordering transcripts, and getting letter of recommendation. But it sure would have been helpful for the guidance office to prepare me for the possibility of a foot-dragging, uninterested, scared teen to drag kicking and screaming through this process and offer up some insight on how to help him through what for him is a traumatic experience. My personal experience has in no way prepared me to help my son. All of my research into this process has led me to the understanding that what he is feeling is normal and actually more the norm than what my experience was, but none of that helps me help him. I'm now starting to say that it's okay to not know. It's normal to be scared. But that would have gone a lot further and maybe avoided some of this trauma if the guidance office had told him and me a year and a half ago that it's normal to be scared and it's okay to not know where you want to go or where you will be comfortable or what you want out of the experience aside from an education. So, Catherine, let's start with you because what is happening at Jack Jewett is, again, it's a middle school. And we're talking about a program called AVID, which we'll get into in a little bit. But in middle school, in sixth grade, here in Albemarle County at least, at Jack Jewett Middle School, you're already determining or helping kids who have determined that they want to go to college, put them on the path with what they need to do and how they need to be prepared, correct?
That's correct. Through our AVID elective class, which is designed for students whose parents did not graduate from college, these students are being exposed to a number of college visits, monthly counselor and administrative visits to describe different types of colleges, what their purpose is. So an urban college versus a college, a huge university like one right here in Charlottesville. So we give them a lot of options so they're aware of the choices that they can make, and they can start thinking college as young as 11, 12 years old.
Does that reduce the scared part of it? Because it is a major decision, and can you begin to make that decision at 12, age 12?
I think we're more hopeful that the children start learning about all the options versus making the final decision. We want them to make that once they're in high school. For our part, at the middle school level, we're simply trying to get students to realize that there's lots of options, lots of different types of schools, because all the kids around here from Charlottesville know is UVA and Piedmont, which are two great schools. But we want them to know there's lots of options out there.
And again, we're talking about there is going to college. But Adam Hastings from K-Tech, college isn't for everybody. Right? So is there a program here in the Charlottesville, Albemarle area that says it's okay not to go to college? And here are some options to go with that.
Yeah, so our goal is that our students leave our program or any other career and technical ed program. We have some that are in all of the high schools. We just do our intensive trade programs at the regional center. Our goal is that our students leave high school ready for competitive entry into highly technical employment. Now, a lot of our students are going to go to college. In fact, you'll find electricians and plumbers go to college for the life of their career. A lot of them go to school a lot longer than the rest of us ever thought we ever would who got traditional four-year degrees. But what they do while they're doing that learning is they're also getting paid and they're getting trained. And so it really is a viable option for a lot of our students in the community. Catherine really hit on it when she said the idea is exposing kids and letting them know what their potential is. And all we ask is that any student has the opportunity to see what those options are. K-Tech's a great option, college is a great option, but the kids need to have the opportunity to see it, to do it, to feel it, to smell it, to hear it, to really get enmeshed in the different options they could do. Because you talked about trauma at the start. Life is trauma if you don't have any skills, or if you don't know where you're going, or if you make some really bad decisions at the start. And we want to help all the kids be successful wherever they go post high school.
But Walter Marion, who's our therapist for the day, because this is a difficult decision, it is a traumatic, may overstate it, but it's important. And it is regularly put onto the teen of how important it is, and whether that's because you're starting in middle school saying, you have to do this, you have to take these classes, you have to be ready to go, or just because the expectations are there because everyone else in your family went to college. And so the importance of the decision is drilled in, and that can make for a challenging time in the family. Yes,
it certainly can. I think part of the difficulty is that it's a little bit like imagining if your doctor told you that you had cancer and a month to live, and actually having that event happen. They're two very different things. And you can be at middle school and be thinking about college and have your folks talking about how you're really smart and you're going to be going off to college. And that all sounds fine and dandy. But when you're actually, you know, coming down your senior year or finishing your senior year and actually facing college, all of a sudden, there are all kinds of dynamics that start to change. You start wondering, is this what I want to do, or is this what my parents want me to do? There are roles that you may have in the family. If you in a family that lives under stress, and many families do, perhaps your parents have difficulties and you're kind of the person who kind of keeps everything calm and cool, you may think, oh, what will happen when I leave? If you grow up in a poor family where you're helping take care of the kids, you're helping cook meals because both of your parents are working, all of a sudden you may be feeling, oh my gosh, how will I be able to take care of my family when I'm gone? Other kinds of pressures, if you come from a family with low income who haven't had the experience of going to college, you may find yourself under pressure from parents to go to work. School, what is the school stuff? We need to get you working to help take care of the rent here. So there are a lot of different feelings that may be going on.
Well, you just added a lot more depth to the question of go to college or not go to college. Again, Walter Marion here with us. He's a licensed professional counselor. We also have Catherine Baylor. She's the principal at Jack Jewett Middle School. And Adam Hastings, he's the principal at K-Tech, which is the Charlottesville Albemarle Technical Education Center. I just know it as K-Tech, and so I always have to look at my notes for that. You're welcome to call us in, call us up if you have a question or a comment today on this topic about after high school graduation. It's 434-979-0919. Call us up, ask a question for Adam, Catherine, or Walter. Let me go back to Adam and Catherine. What is the role or responsibility of the schools in determining or helping someone determine whether it's college or not college?
I'll go first, Adam.
Go ahead.
So I think the role of the schools is simply to prepare students to be lifelong learners. The strategies that we incorporate through our AVID program is called Wicker strategies, and so we work on critical writing.
Say that again. It's called?
It's called Wicker, W-I-C-O-R, and that stands for critical writing, inquiry, collaboration, organization, and critical reading. And if students are gaining those skills throughout their middle school and high school career, they're going to be ready for work and college, either one.
Well, I know that, Adam, you touched on this, which is even tradesmen, and again, I'm going to say politically incorrect stuff or stuff that comes out from when I was, you know, 10 or 20, even tradesmen these days still have to go for some sort of post-high school graduation learning. As I'm prepping for the show today, I'm thinking of my friend Rusty from Bluegrass because he's an auto mechanic. But you don't just pull out your tools and start taking stuff apart anymore. You have to understand and know how to use the computer. And that falls into a large number of trades that in the past it was, I don't want to go to college, I just want to fix cars. Or I just want to, you know, I love building things, so I'm going to become a craftsman, a drywallist, a general contractor.
Right, so the days of VOTEC, we always talk about it, we ain't your daddy's VOTEC. When you think about how vocational ed used to be, it was down at the bottom of the school in the bowels of the building in the dark hallway, and all the kids who had nowhere else to go went down there and they swung.
That's where the cigarette butts
right,
were.
Right, that's right. They swung hammers and they turned wrenches, and who knows what happened to those guys when they left that program. It doesn't work that way anymore. So what I'm often finding myself saying is, as our lives become more technical, so must the trades that support them. So when we think about our daily life and we think about the mechanics of our daily life and the technology of our daily life, you expect the people who are doing the trade work around you to be able to do it at 21st century levels, which means that everybody who goes into that field needs to be a master of 21st century technology and equipment and materials. These are challenging jobs. These are very challenging jobs. They're very well-paying jobs. These are fields where people still get benefits. They still can look forward to a long career. But we've got to find the right students for the right positions no matter where they go. And Catherine touched on it. It's lifelong learning. It's the idea of self-actualization. We have to get students to become aware of themselves and parents to become aware of their children so that they can make the right decision for the rest of their lives.
But you have students who cannot wait to get out of school. What does the school system do to help these teens progress forward?
So we actually go through a pretty intensive process of post-secondary preparation. So all of our kids have counselors who are assigned. We've got clubs, and we have organizations, and we have assessments that assess our skills and our interests and different inventories that students go through. It's really woven into the mesh of the high school and now the middle school experience of getting kids to start connecting the dots between what I'm doing today and what my potential will be tomorrow.
Walter, we talk about the the importance of the decision. Whatever the end result of the decision may be, whether it's a four-year college, a trade, going to K-Tech, just taking your job immediately with no real or sort of educational format as many people view it, it's still an important decision in the family. You talked about the decision changes depending on what the family needs or the family background is. But what can the family do to talk about it?
I think whenever we face something new, there's a certain level of ambivalence about that. Oh, yeah, I'm
changing
really...
routine.
Yes, anything. We are talking about transition times. All of a sudden, life is going to change dramatically for the student. It's also going to change dramatically for the family. You know, all of a sudden, this person is no longer there. So when there's ambivalence, lots of times part of the message in that ambivalence gets expressed and part of it doesn't. So, oh, sure, I want to go to college, says the kid. And then when it comes time to fill out applications, all of a sudden the kid is putting it off and not filling out that application. And so then the parents get irritated. You said you want to go. Why don't you fill it out? Come on, let's get that thing filled out. Well, now the parents are irritated with the kids, and they're pushing, and suddenly the kid no longer is taking responsibility for his college application. His parents are there, and so the kid's getting pushed along, which is potentially a problem once the kid finds himself in school and he just kind of went along for the ride, and suddenly it's his ball game and it's not the parents' ball game. So if the parents can recognize that ambivalence, if they can say to the kid, oh, I heard you say you wanted to go to college, but you know, I believe you, but on the other hand, I've just been watching you put off filling that application. I'm imagining maybe you're not all that excited about it. Maybe you're a little scared about that. And have that conversation about both sides of those feelings so the kid can kind of feel respected and not feel that he has to pretend to be something that he's not. We want each child to actually take full responsibility for how he's feeling. And make his decisions based on that as opposed to just external variables of somebody saying he'd be good because he's smart or whatever.
Again, we're talking about after high school graduation, what to do next. Our guest today, Adam Hastings from K-Tech, Catherine Baylor, principal at Jack Jewett Middle School, Walter Maring, licensed professional counselor and family therapist. Again, a lot of this comes from my family's issue as my oldest nephew, senior year in high school, and his steps along the way.
Our members are joined by the following underwriters in their support of WNRN.
T&N Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, T&N specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. T&N offers FSC-certified printing, an internationally recognized standard for production and consumption of forest products. T&N Printing can be reached at 434-971-8976 and t-nprinting.com.
Boudoir Lingerie Boutique in the Boonesboro Shopping Center, Lynchburg. At Boudoir, you can find Bridal by Jane Woolrich, Intimate Apparel by Blush, and Oulala Cherie, plus maternity, lingerie, and loungewear. Boudoir is your dressing room and carries sizes AA to H at 4925 Boonesboro Road, Lynchburg, and votreboudoir.com, VOTREBOUDOIR.com.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you so much for being here with us on WNRN. This is Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, talking about what teens should do after high school graduation or how they make those decisions, both personally and as a family. Adam and Catherine, you both come from the current educational system here in Albemarle County. Is there more focus on going to college, on the college track than maybe on the immediate career track?
I think there is.
from a career standpoint, and really, Catherine can probably speak more to the school system side, and let me speak more to the career side. And I don't mean to be a doomsday salesman here, but there are not jobs in this locality for people in the 18 to 30-year-old range who don't have some set of skills. We have a massive issue here in this region with youth unemployment, underemployment, and non-competitive employment. And so for a student to say, I'm going to be 18 and I'm going to go get the job that people used to get when we all were 18, those jobs just don't exist. And the reason is because we have plenty of other people in town who have already been in the workforce whose jobs went away over the last decade, and they're filling those jobs. So the school system, what we work to create potential and possibility and a future for our kids. And right now, there just isn't much of one here in the Charlottesville-Albemarle region for somebody who doesn't have the skills and doesn't have legitimate career prospects.
Yeah, our superintendent shares a statistic with us that students who graduate from college over the course of their lifetime earn $1 million more than students who do not graduate from college. So that's a lot of opportunity missed if students don't attend and graduate from college.
But that's an average. And, you know, Dr. Moran has been on my program. I feel fortunate to have had her on the show a half dozen to 10 times. And so I recognize that her goal is always to, and I think you've both said it here in some fashion, to give the children as much potential, the door as wide open as you can with as many tools in their hand as they can muster. But when we say averages like that, are we giving options or promoting options to some people who may not have them, who may not ever get them, and who really may not be interested in them, and we're not focusing on things that they could find that might lead them to a successful background?
I think you hit on certainly Dr. Moran's mission and vision for our school system. I definitely believe that what we're trying to do at Jewett is make sure doors are open and have students working with each other. Walter mentioned the difficulties families go through. What we try to do is have a school family as well, so that there's the home family that supports students and reaching their potential. But then there's also a school family that does that support each day and pushes each other so that they're not all of a sudden surprised by the choices that come their way when they're a senior in high school.
And Adam, I want to toss this one in your lap, because are we promoting the four-year college track? It's the expectation that we've had in this country, in this culture, for a number of years now. Maybe not back in 1940s, maybe not back in 1950. At that point, it was a much smaller percentage. But now, as we hit the 70s, certainly, there's a larger and ever-growing percentage of people where that's the expectation. As you go to a four-year college, that's just what you do, rather than creating new expectations. You skip college and the expense and you find your career, or you go away and you don't come back to college for a couple years, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, until you have a better idea of what you want to do and you have the commitment that goes with it.
Well, certainly we live in Charlottesville, and we have Mr. Jefferson's University over there that looms over everything that goes on in the school systems here. I mean, you just can't talk about school around here and not talk about the four-year college. And it's an ever-present reminder to our students, to our parents, to our community about the benefits of a four-year training program. We really want to give students the opportunity to be whatever they want to be and be whomever they want to be when they leave school. And so we do want every student to be eligible to pursue a four-year degree or a six-year degree or a 10-year degree. So we don't look at it as an either-or proposition. We don't say you can either go get a four-year degree or you can go get a trade. What we say is fill your tool belt with as many tools as you have, as you can possibly fit in there, so that when you make that decision, you're going to make the best decision for you.
But we all know that the cost of four-year college is increasing. The debt load that's put on the student or the family is it's growing a lot faster than many of us anticipated. So at what point is college being spent on the social skills that come from it rather than the educational skills that come from it?
You want to go?
I was just saying, I don't know that we can predict how many courses will be online versus needing to be present. And obviously they come at a much cheaper expense. So I don't know that future right now, but I know that there's going to be a lot more options with college courses being online versus having to spend the type of money you described.
Yeah, so I'm thinking back to my psychology classes in college, and I remember that term we used to talk about, the psychosocial moratorium, where we as a society tolerate essentially listless, lazy, drunken behavior from a large section of our population for 4 to 6 to 8 years. And it's okay to say, I'm an unemployed 22-year-old. It's not okay to say, I'm an unemployed 26-year-old or I'm an unemployed 32-year-old. We haven't, as a society, I don't think, and certainly not in Charlottesville, moved away from the four-year model, and we are right on the precipice, right on the top of that, of this change right now, where we're going to see something happening in the relationship between high school and college, and what are going to be the options for our students 10 years from now, 20 years from now, as far as post-secondary education goes. But right now, even though we can feel the ground changing beneath us about what the future is going to look like, the best option is still to make sure that every student is college ready, regardless of where they go after high school.
It's Adam Hastings. He's the principal at K-Tech here in Charlottesville. And Catherine Baylor, principal at Jack Jewett Middle School. We also have Walter Marion. He's a licensed family therapist. Walter, talk for a minute about what happens when the teen whose family all went to college thinks that he or she doesn't want to go. Because there's a lot of stress in this decision and the difficulty in sometimes making your own choice versus the expectation of what others think you should do and expect of you.
I think you get to the problem of resistance and how to deal with that in both directions. If the parents are all gung-ho, they're professional people, they want their kids to be professional people, they know that their kid will make $1 million more if he goes to college than if he doesn't. And if you're professional, you think of things that aren't professional as a notch down, and the kid maybe feels more like a failure or maybe hasn't done okay. And so there are some real difficult feelings floating around and a lot of pressure on those kids in the family, in which case they may just go ahead and go to school, but go for the ride, as I heard, where it's party time and let's eat, drink, and be merry and not worry too much about it. As you talk, I think of things haven't really changed a whole lot. There was a guy named John Donne, a poet in the 16th century, who had this lovely little thing called song, and one of the lines was, "If thou be'st born to see strange sights, things invisible, go see, ride 10,000 days and nights till age snow-white hair on thee. Thou, when thou returnest, will tell me all strange wonders that befell thee," and so on. Anyway, it's a neat poem.
Wow.
And you're not reading that from your book in front of you either.
Oh, that was impressive.
Well, I learned that in college. I thought, oh boy, I like that. And I think that there is an exploration phase that should go on, and I think a danger of having everything set that you have to go through this immediately, because if you don't, somehow you will lose your opportunity, may push people into things that they're not quite ready for. I think that there are other ways of approaching life that allow some exploration. Perhaps you've heard of wolfing, where you go to strange foreign countries and you work raising sheep or doing some odd thing in New Zealand. And you find out what life's like a little bit. You work for a while. You find out what it's like to work by the sweat of your brow. And perhaps you'll decide that's more what you want to do, or perhaps you'll decide not. But some experience often helps build motivation for when you actually decide to go to school.
I'm listening to you talk, and I'm thinking about this, and You know, I started my career in education in a very rural school district. I was up in Culpeper, and for most of the students that I taught in Culpeper, the assumption was that they were going to go back to the farm or go into a trade or go work at the Merrillat factory or go work at one of the other assembly line factories that was up near Culpeper. But I wasn't there long, and I actually got a chance to go work for Catherine at Sutherland, what seems like a long time ago. And I got to tell you, since she's here next to me, she's pretty much the greatest school administrator ever and does an amazing job. So just make sure everybody hears that.
Thank you, Adam.
It's really cool to be sitting next to her right now. But when I switched to Sutherland, where Catherine was the principal, I'd say it's pretty safe to say there was a general assumption that all of those kids were going to go to a four-year track. And that was the general school-wide culture. Now, a lot of those students have come through our programs at K-Tech, and it's interesting to watch students whose older siblings went to college, whose parents went to college, and they're making decisions now to go into PVCC's culinary program, or deciding that they're going to say for 2 years, I'm going to do the math, and I'm going to go get my general ed credits out of the way, and then I'm going to transfer to another school. And so kids are making that decision, and somewhere somebody's having those conversations with them, and they're going to be successful. And I know that it's a big part of that is what's going on in the schools. It has to be. And there has to be some teaching that's going on there for these kids, because these are smart, talented, very able kids with very involved parents who have made that decision.
Catherine, let's talk about the AVID program for a few moments. Again, we're talking about decisions involving after high school graduation. Our guest today, Catherine Baylor, she's the principal at Jack Jewett Middle School. We have Adam Hastings here. He's the principal at K-Tech, which is our local technical education center. We have Walter Maring here. He's a licensed professional counselor. And because these decisions are big family decisions, or even if they're not family-wide and they're just one person, the stress involved after it's been told to you repeatedly that how important this decision is and how it puts you on a life track, I felt it important to invite Walter to join us. But, Catherine, we talk about AVID. Explain that a little bit.
Sure. AVID stands for Advancement Via Individual Determination. And I think it's been echoed in the sentiments of Adam and Walter that the kids need to be committed. And commitment doesn't happen by accident. So we need to teach students the skills to be determined and to stay with and make sure North is truly North. So what we do in the middle school level is we have an elective course that students take every day for about 40 minutes. And in that course, they learn not only the skills of writing and reading and organization, as I mentioned earlier through the Wicker strategies, but they also learn what college is like. So they have UVA and PVCC students who come in weekly and work with them in what's called a tutorial process. In that tutorial process, students are not, it's not the traditional one where you help a student have an answer. What you're doing instead is you're helping students ask questions. And they're asking questions that are on what is called an analysis to an evaluative level. They're not just simple questions, they're difficult. And when you watch this tutorial process, what you realize is these students are going to be ready. They're going to be ready to take notes in a huge college lecture hall, as well as have discussions in a 20-person class. They are going to be prepared to be lifelong learners and be able to make those decisions.
11:33 on the wake-up call, talking about decisions after high school graduation or preparing for decisions at high school graduation. Catherine, we're talking about AVID, and it's for middle school kids. Some of the comments that you hear about, you read about, is that we are putting too much on the kids at an earlier stage in life. It's whether it's the helicopter parent who wants to be involved in every step and in some ways is diminishing the skills of their kid because the parent is the one making these decisions. Is it the stress that the parent is putting on the kids because it's, you know, it's what your grades are in kindergarten that affect where you can go to college? And so we're talking about middle school. What, explain a little bit more to me the difference between the AVID and the skills that it's giving to the middle school student opposed to giving that, you know, this is not a middle school AP course.
Sure. I actually think I can think of three different students. We have an assistant superintendent's son who's in our school, and he's exposed to the Wicker strategies and comes home and knows how to summarize and ask thoughtful, critical, creative thinking questions, as well as a student who, as a seventh grader, quite honestly, she was a bully. And she'd be the first. In fact, she did tell the school board that in seventh grade she was a bully. And she got into the, and she had all the academic potential in the world. And in order to get an AVID, you simply can't be a bully. So she had to change her ways because she so much wanted to get into the elective course and is a successful high school student now. And finally, our school has students, a number of students whose families just moved to this country. And so they have to acquire English as well as the content. And again, as part of the AVID elective class, students are able to get the proper support from each other so that they're not feeling lost because they don't know the language. They get the right support to be able to achieve successfully.
Do I get a grade? Do I get an A, a C?
You do get grades.
What happens if I fail that? I mean, is that a stigma that I'll never escape?
I'll give you a fourth student. We had a student who last year, as he says, I got kicked out because I wasn't doing my work, because you have to maintain a GPA of a 3.0. And got kicked out, he started working hard so that he could get back in the following year. And he's sitting right back in AVID where he belongs.
All right. It's 11:36 in the wake-up call. Adam, I'm going to come back in just a moment and ask you about entrepreneurship. What sort of the non-trade classes that I think many associate with the sort of vo-tech that you mentioned earlier, are we moving into the modern era for that? We'll be right back.
Today's programming on WNRN is supported by
Music Today. Based in Crozet, Music Today powers ticketing for local venues such as the Intellos Wireless Pavilion, the Southern Cafe and Music Hall, and the Jefferson Theater, and is official web stores for hundreds of artists, athletes, and entertainers. That's Music Today.
Atlantic Organic Natural Sleep Shop, featuring their natural and chemical-free organic sleep studio with environmentally conscious mattresses and bedding, including eco-friendly hardwood platform beds. That's Atlantic Organic, 421 West Main Street, Charlottesville. Website AtlanticOrganicSleepShop.com. It's bedtime, naturally.
Hi, I'm Julia Harrison, inviting you to the 16th Annual Harrisonburg International Festival. This year's event will be on Saturday, September 28th from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Hillendale Park in Harrisonburg. This free event is bringing together an extravaganza of performing, visual, and culinary arts. There will be an array of musical talent and dance, creative folk art, language, and educational learning opportunities, plus a world bazaar of unique handmade and imported art, delicious foods, and pastries from all over the world. For more information, visit our website at harrisonburg-international-festival.org. I'm Julia Harrison, making a community connection at WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection@WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you so much for being with us today here on WNRN Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. Talking about decisions and after high school graduation, Catherine Baylor from Jack Jewett Middle School, Adam Hastings from K-Tech, Walter Marion, a local professional counselor and family therapist. Adam, for many people, I think the stereotype of sort of the K-Tech / vo-tech system is that you're giving kids, giving teens the skills to go into an immediate job that's not particularly educational. We talked about that a little bit, about how the teaching, the learning needs to continue. But for many, it's still the courses are electrician, HVAC repair. But are you teaching anything along the lines of how to run your own business, how to be an entrepreneur, sort of the modern era of vo-tech jobs?
Oh, yeah. So Let me give you a little historical background. About six, yeah, God, it's hard to think now how many years I've been there. I think 6 or 7 years ago, the director at K-Tech was Dara Bonham. Dara is now an assistant principal over at Monticello High School, and Dara gets a lot of credit for starting an entrepreneurship program at K-Tech. And the idea was that we would teach entrepreneurship as a set of skills. And he went out to the business community, and he got business involvement, and we had a big competition where students created business plans and started their own businesses. And he really deserves a lot of credit, along with Paula Paganakis, who worked hand-in-hand with him on getting a curriculum put together for entrepreneurship. What we found, though, over the years was that entrepreneurship isn't a standalone skill. It's something that needs to be woven into the fabric of the trade education that the students are receiving. So what we do now is actually really exciting, and the people on the air probably can't see my smile, but this is something that really energizes me. Our students start off in any one of our 14 trades with seed money. So they get $1,000 to start the school year off. And from that $1,000, they
By the way, is this a real $1,000 or is this my Monopoly $1,000?
No, this is, this is $1,000 that comes from the local tax base as part of our instructional funds. Each program gets this $1,000, and from that $1,000, they turn it into you name it. My building trades program builds a house. My nurse aid program goes off and does health screening for different communities. My barbers and cosmetologists go off and work with different people like the Sarah organization in town and find ways to get their trades out there and really help the community. But what that $1,000 does is it forces the students as a class to design a product, to sell that product, and to use it out in the community. And now our students are learning, hey, I've got to be a boss in this program, or I've got to be an employee in this program, and how do we turn this little bit of seed money into operational funding for the entire school year? And that really is where they're learning the entrepreneurial skills. My kids are the ones who are out there selling. In fact, last year we had a great example. Our culinary arts program did about $10,000 of sales in just 1 week for Thanksgiving meals. That the kids, they make it all, they sell it all, they make the website, they advertise it all. So really it's getting them to understand that there really is a business component to every one of these trades, regardless of what the trade is, whether you're going into business or not.
Is the goal, I mean, so you get $1,000. Is the goal to make it last the semester? What if I burn it all in my first program? Am I expected to bring profit into the company? Or is it just, here's your $1,000, and we want you to learn these things from it over this 13-week course?
So it's a 36-week course.
Ooh, that's even longer to save $1,000.
And they find all the way. So, for example, in our construction program, they start the year off, they take that money and they drop it into some sheds, and then they sell those sheds to the public for some level of profit. There's some laws about how we can sell it, because we're using children after all, so can't be forcing kids into labor camp work. But once they make those things and sell them, they generate some profit, and then they can build bigger items and bigger items and bigger items. But they use that money for the entire school year.
Now that I find fascinating, and I applaud, because I think personally, again, whether it's true or not, I have come to the stereotype that everybody should go to college. That's the expectation, is everybody should go to a four-year university, so much so that the four-year degree has become somewhat lessened in value, and so you need to have a master's degree if you really want to stand out, whether that has any value to what you're going to use or not. Thank you, as I speak personally on that. And so it's nice to, I want to make sure that those people making the choice to not attend a four-year college are being valued for their skills in some way other than just offering them a tool to put in their bag. But actually, I love that program, and congrats to you and to the folks that you mentioned who put that together. I mean, I find that to be such a great concept.
It's a fun program.
That's Adam Hastings talking about K-Tech. So let me read this next part. Again, 11:43 here in the wake-up call. To go back to the four-year college, because, again, what prompted the program today is my nephew trying to find where to go, trying to find what to do. My sister and my nephew just not communicating well, and on him deciding or him making it clear what some of his thoughts and plans were. And Walter, you've said several times that the communication from teen to parent or parent to teen, the importance of that. Right? You just don't, you can't make a good decision without the communication.
Absolutely.
So here's a part, because they did visit several schools. He's a high school athlete, so he'd been in the state, out of the state. He'd been to large schools. I know that he went to Maryland. He'd been to Ohio State, one of the largest universities in the country. I know that he went to UVA, visited UVA, James Madison, a couple of the other ones, Longwood, Hamden, Sydney, Washington and Lee, Randolph-Macon, Christopher Newport, Washington, Mary Washington. Those are the ones I'm familiar with. And the effort that was put into it was more of the traditional. My sister and my nephew picked a couple colleges. They got in the car and they drove around and they took the tours. And the first time that happened, it was, what would you like about that? I don't know. Well, can you tell me a little bit of something? I don't know. Can we consider any of these? Well, maybe this one. And there was no real skill behind it. So the family method was that someone other than my sister needed to be part of this, rather than that immediate relationship of mother-son, which can be difficult in the teen years. We asked that my sister go along. Their sisters are twins, so same age and similar understanding. They both went to college. So that she could sort of sit on the outside and see what the body language was, both during the tour and afterwards. And that seemed to work. And here's an email that came back from that. We visited school A first. I could tell that he wasn't into the tour. When we got back to the car, I told him he had to specifically articulate what it was about the school that he liked and didn't like. One of the major things that came out was that he wanted a school with a football team. He sees a big part of college being about hanging out at football games. School A didn't have a team. He did like that School A kept their class sizes down to about 25 people per class, a big indicator that he wants a small school. He just didn't realize that that's what he wanted. At School B, he liked that their students were guaranteed housing all 4 years and lived on campus. He liked that the campus was all in one place and not sprawled out, another clue that he wants a small school. All in all, he couldn't articulate that he wanted small, but that's what he ended up liking. He also liked the fact that it only took less than 2 hours to get there. He wanted to be close to home. Overall, it was a very successful trip. He said that School B was now his number one school. He was actually smiling when we left. And a big part of that that the family believes is because my sister couldn't see that because she was focusing on other parts of the trip, but my sister could. Walter, not all families have that ability to sort of put that system together. How do the families who don't have that make it work?
Well, there were a couple of things that you talked about that I thought were very interesting. One was the first sister, the mother of the child, bombarded her child with questions. Well, what did you think about this? Oh, no, no. Often when kids are feeling under the gun or unsure of things, they move into a defensive posture, and questions tend to freeze them there, and she was bombarding him with questions. The second sister approached it very differently, and she had a little more distance, too, because it wasn't her kid, so that helped.
She's also a teacher.
So she provided a structure, and she didn't ask any questions. She set an expectation. What did you like about this school, and what did you not like about this school? I guess I just asked a question. Let me try that again. Tell me about what you saw in this school that you liked. Tell me what you saw about this school that wasn't what you liked. So she moved the child from having this question shot at him that puts him on the spot to an expectation that encourages him to move out. I think when parents do that, when they're clear about what they expect from their kids as opposed to hitting them with questions, it tends to move them out of that defensive posture and allows the child to start really analyzing the situation that he's part of. We're talking about communication. That's a communication skill that second parent had that was valuable.
11:49 on the Wake Up Call. Just a few minutes left with our guests today, Walter Marion, Catherine Baylor, and Adam Hastings.
WNRN thanks the following for their support of independent music radio.
WNRN presents Groovin' in the Garden at Lewis Ginter Botanical Gardens in Henrico. Closing out the season with Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn on Wednesday, September 25th. Tickets for Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn are on sale at groovininthegarden.com.
And don't forget, in just a couple of weeks, we'll be having our fall fun drive here at WNRN. And let me tell you about our Evergreen membership. The Evergreen members have simplified their contribution process by making a monthly donation on a continuing basis at a much smaller rate. They're making a major contribution to keeping independent music radio alive and have even helped us shorten the upcoming fall fun drive by one day. Becoming an Evergreen member today at WNRN.org will get you all the benefits of being a VIP card-carrying member, and it's also easy. Go to WNRN.org now. Join the over 300 WNRN Evergreen members. Thanks so much. Next Sunday, we'll be doing a show on the Fluvanna Women's Correctional Center and the health issues for inmates. Is the state responsible for offering its inmates the best health care possible? We'll talk about a couple stories that have shown that that may not be their intent. All right, back with our guests, Catherine Baylor, Adam Hastings, Walter Marion. Catherine and Adam, when you talk about that, the way that that particular visit or system worked in my family, what do you see with people, families coming into that you see or that you hear about with the guidance counselors? Because we all know that the difficulty of the decision, we've talked about that throughout the hour, and oftentimes the guidance counselors don't get the best rewards possible or the best comments possible. It seems like the guidance counselors are the ones who get all the grief if the decision is hard or not necessarily with the best outcome.
Well, I can speak to the middle school level. What struck me about Walter's feedback to you and your sisters, and is similar to what our counselors try to do in the classrooms with kids. They go in and ask questions. Actually, it's kind of funny. They don't ask questions. What they do is the students go through a series of what makes them feel good or what they don't like and what they do like. And so they get at the exact same answers that the aunt of your nephew did, where the sixth grader or seventh grader or eighth grader is figuring out early what they want. Do they want a big school or a small school and why? And they go through that process at school, which has got a little bit of distance from the home. So then that should make the conversations easier at home later in life.
But Adam, self-assessment at that age, I mean, are we asking too much of these kids, whether it's at age 17 because you're a high school senior, at age 12 because you're a sixth grader at Jack Jewett?
It's never too much to ask. It's too early at 12 years old to say, you know what, I'm going to go to Harvard, I'm going to be an engineer, I'm going to take these classes, I'm going to do this. That's too early. But to start becoming self-aware is definitely the work that we need to be doing. It's essential. We have to know. You know, you think about the high school counselor. A school with 1,000 students is likely to have 4 high school counselors. So you're looking at a 250-to-1 student-to-counselor ratio. Our counselors deserve angel's wings. I mean, they work, they work, they work. I wouldn't be a high school counselor. You couldn't pay me all the money in the world to go be a high school counselor.
It still doesn't stop the parents or others in the community from blaming them for when the desired outcome doesn't happen.
They're an easy target. But the reality is that nobody knows a child as well as a parent. And we have to. There has to be some purposeful engagement, some purposeful dialogue, some purposeful assessment of who the child is and where the child wants to go.
I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just let me find the sentence or two in here on another snippet from my sister, the parent of my nephew. All high school sophomores should be presented with some sort of assembly that talks to them about the process, and that may happen here in Albemarle. All of them, not just the 4-year college track. And the emotional, mental aspect of dealing with the whole experience. And then she says later on that she wishes the guidance counselors had done the same thing for the parents. Does that take place here in Albemarle?
Oh, yeah.
Are the kids brought in to an assembly, whether it's by grade or you know, by classroom or however?
Well, we do it at the classroom level. It's called classroom guidance is what it's called, and that's where we do that work. We also, every teacher is involved at JULIP. We have what's called a college day. We wear our college paraphernalia. And what we do is talk about the experience of how we made the decision, why we made the decision to attend a four-year college, what are the goods, the bads, the uglies of college, and start personalizing it for kids so they hear from their teacher's perspective. And different teachers tell different parts. And the kids are enamored by it. And they love listening to the stories, because if those stories can become real, then it helps later when children are making this decision themselves.
Catherine, do me a favor. It's 11:55, so just a couple minutes left. Four-year college from you, and that's what you're working with the group, with Jack Jewett and with the AVID organization, the AVID program. Tell the parent here on air the things to look out for at that age.
Well, I think they just need to be thoughtful. We need to develop the skills of students becoming thoughtful human beings and really determined to commit to themselves and their future. And then, as our division is calling it, we can unleash each individual's potential.
And Adam, I realize I'm sort of, you know, come up with this answer right away. But you're working with a different students who've made a different decision. How do you tell the parent that that's a good decision, that that's an okay decision, good will come from it?
Most of the parents who send students to us have already made that decision. They're confident enough in vocational ed that they realize that they're sending their students to us. What we try and reinforce is it's not an either-or decision, that you could do one or the other, that you don't have to choose that you're going to do one or the other, and that coming to us doesn't prevent you from going on to something else. We engage parents in that dialogue, and we want them to understand the decision that they're making. I mean, when we think about how much heartache a kid goes through to buy a $5,000 or $10,000 car, but then we leave it up to a high school counselor to make a decision about a $100,000, a quarter of $1 million college debt, we've got to ramp up and amp up our level of involvement in making that decision.
Oh, Walter, we keep coming back to communication, and I realize that for a therapist, a family therapist and licensed counselor, that's a big part of any conversation, a big part of any decision or aspect of what's happening in the family. But the prospect of seeing it from the teen's aspect and the parent's aspect, are they so different, or is it the same thing and just a different age?
I think so much depends on how relaxed and comfortable the student is with his parents. If they have a good connection and the student feels safe and secure, that his feelings are respected, then he can go forth and be launched, feeling that he's still part of his family, that there is that connection backing him. And he's much more likely to be stable and make reasonable choices because he's thinking in terms of what his parents would like as well. Whereas if there is stress and the student is feeling misunderstood or pushed into something that he's not quite sure he's ready for, he's much more likely to not have that sense of support and be over-involved with peers that he gets involved with in the college. And his life is liable to be not quite so stable.
Adam, people can learn about K-Tech. What's your website?
www.ktech.org.
C-A-T-E-C.
C-A-T-E-C.
And, Catherine, we didn't get into, I mean, we only talked about the AVID program and little bits and pieces, but it's certainly an important part of Albemarle County school system. Is it at other schools or just Jack Jewett?
It is at other middle schools and high schools.
So, for kids, for parents whose kids are in elementary school or who need to know more about it other than what their kids are bringing home, because it's not for all students.
No, it's not. It's for students whose parents did not attend a four-year college.
And how can they learn more about it?
They could go to our website at Jack Jewett, and there's a whole section called AVID.
All right. And Walter, a push on you for those people out there who think that conversation and maybe need a little more touch on the communication part as these big decisions come up. How can they find you?
Oh, you can just go to waltermearing@gmail.com. That's my email, or www.relationshipsrepair.com, which is my website.
All right. Thank the three of you for coming in today.
Thank you.
It was an important family decision, which tells me that it was important for other families. All right, everyone, have a wonderful day. Les Temps-Perdue up next.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Brandon Wong. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.